Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors, a huge win, jumping out to a 1-0 lead against the Minnesota Timberwolves, stealing home court advantage back. A huge win, but also a huge loss, losing Steph Curry to a hamstring injury mid-second quarter. Steph was cooking, much like I expected in this. You know, it's finding just a lot of separation, no longer being hounded by Amen Thompson in that Rockets defense. And this Minnesota defense is no slouch either, but Steph was dicing them up. He continued to have his way with Minnesota, as you saw earlier in the year. Minnesota really struggles with those bigs to stay with Steph in that high pick and roll. And Steph was giving it to them. 13 minutes, had 13 points, had the Warriors out to a 10-point lead. Had three threes and was aggressive, and you could just tell that he was happy to have some just open shots with his feet set. And it felt like a game where Steph was going to be dropping easily in the mid-30s, 40 points if needed. And then he goes down with that hamstring injury, which I guess let's look at it now. It's not a good sign that he was ruled out. Although with a hamstring injury, even a minor hamstring injury, it's not unheard of, knowing that you're only going to make it worse. And, you know, once you're not full go, there's no way you're going to be back in that game. Unless it was like a game six, game seven elimination game, and it was like a minor hamstring, then you gut it out, knowing that you will be worse for the wear the more you play on it going forward. But because it's game one, I'm hoping that they're just being extra precautionary, ruling him out that early. But that being said, I think we all know that precautionary is not the right word. Steph is going to miss some time. He has a hamstring injury. I'm going to assume by just the limp he had, but he also, it wasn't terrible. You know, he was walking fairly free of limp at times. Obviously, he was able to kind of trot down the court, score a mid-range shot, get back on D, and he didn't look right, but it didn't look terrible. So I'm going to assume it's a grade one hamstring injury. It's good he got out of there when he did without making that tear. However, big, you know, a grade one just means you have a little micro tear in there. So however much you more play you on it more, that tear just gets worse and worse. So he got out of there before doing much more damage to it. So fortunately in the long run, they protected it realistically. So we're talking grade one hamstring, guys. We're talking, depending how dire a situation, I mean, 3 to 7 days is a pretty optimistic timeline. Like, say, hey, the Warriors lose next game and say they lose the game three also on Saturday, which would be 4 days from now, you can realistically say, okay, now you need him back for game four, which would be, let's see here, it'd be Wednesday, Thursday would be game two, Friday, Saturday would be game three, Sunday, Monday. So you'd be on 5 days rest, which is quick getting back for game four, and hopefully you're not down 2-1 at that point. But we'll see how the Warriors look without him. A more realistic timeline, knowing that there is a lot of playoffs left behind this, and you are going to want him back, close to call it 90%. He's not going to be 100% the rest of the way if it's a hamstring. You can't put him in there where he's like 70%. He's going to lose his burst. He's going to have a chance for re-injury. So realistically, you're probably looking more like 5 to 10 days and probably closer to that 7-day mark. So again, you're praying that game two, game three, game four, if he has to miss 3 games, which would be 5 days of rest, 6 days, then that 7th day would be your game five. You need to win one of those 3 games without Steph. You have two of them at home. If you can get to a 2-2 series with Steph coming back and call him, 80% at that point, and you have him for the last 3 games, then you like your chances, because you don't love your chances, but you have a chance. Knowing that you have 3 days of rest between game five and six, which again, realistically, it would be great for the Warriors to be able to steal two of these games, have a 3-2 lead, or have a 3-1 lead at some point, and you can still sit him from game five, have that extra 3 days of rest, and then he's back for game six with a full, whatever that would be, probably close to like almost a week and a half, maybe even closer to 2 weeks at that point. That's the pipe dream. In reality, are the Warriors going to win two out of the next 3 games without Steph? if the defense keeps playing like this, and if the Timberwolves keep playing like they did in the first three quarters, where they're going to heat up from three, but they shot pretty darn bad the last seven quarters, including going back to the Lakers game. They don't look right. They don't look in a rhythm. The rest off just gave them more rust. And the Warriors defense ate them up. They got a little bit loose in the fourth quarter. You could tell that the Warriors were gassed. They were sucking and they were sucking wind. Their legs were heavy. They were just mustering anything they could get on either side of the ball and did enough to hold on in this. And they hats off. They went plus one for 2.5 quarters in the time that since Steph Curry went off. So they won the rest of the game. That being said, you're not going to be able to expect the Timberwolves to play this poorly again. Definitely not in game two, where they basically are in a must-win situation. So I think it's fair to assume that the Warriors are probably not going to get a win in game two, but crazier things have happened. Look at the Pacers, although the Cavs just missed everybody and the Pacers barely won. So shorthanded Steph coming off of a game where Timberwolves are ice cold. A game where they've probably shaken a little rust off, and now the Warriors have just played their third straight grueling game in the last 5 days and get a day of rest, and you're right back to it. Jimmy Butler played 41 minutes, Buddy Hield played 40, Draymond played 35 hard minutes, Gary Payton 26 hard minutes. That's a lot for him, especially coming off of illness, and he's always kind of dinged up. And when he has long, high minute usage games like this, you find him sometimes missing games. So we'll knock on wood because he is going to be huge if you have any chance at keeping Ant under wraps in the series. So yeah, that's kind of my prognosis with Steph. I'm hoping he only misses two games. I'd be happy. And if you can split those games, give Minnesota game two, find a way to win at home when you come back, use that home crowd, that essentially that sixth man right there. But again, Warriors' legs are going to be heavy. You're asking a lot. It wouldn't be the worst case if the Warriors just get blown out next game and kind of like game five against Houston, you're sitting the guys with maybe, low 20s minutes by the early third quarter and give yourself a chance to kind of recover and have a chance for the rest of the series. Not saying I want that to happen, but if you're going to lose game two, lose it. Not hard fought, right? Give yourself a chance to refresh. Anyways, not looking ahead, not trying to be pessimistic, but if you're thinking about, how do you cope? How do you play the long-term game knowing Steph Curry's injury? You're going to have to pace yourself because we were just very limited on options, we're very limited on offense. The defense played hard, but as that fatigue starts to kick in, you saw the lack of resistance and Anthony Edwards starting getting into the hoop. We fought hard enough on rebounds in the fourth quarter, but every possession was getting pretty dicey, and you could just feel that this had Minnesota Timberwolves coming in with about 3 4 minutes left. But Warriors find a way to battle. Gary Payton hits a huge three, hit a couple huge threes in this. Buddy Hield, player of the game, 24 points, hit his fifth three, which was in that fourth quarter late, which basically put this game out of touch, followed by a little Jimmy floater runner in the lane. Found offense, right? Draymond Green hit four threes, shot 40%, had 18 points. Can you count on that? That's above his average. I think you can count on Jimmy Butler to give you more than 20 points, although he is facilitating everything on offense. I thought he played okay. But you're asking him to do a lot. I mean, after what you've asked the last couple games, and then he's basically your entire engine playing 40 minutes again. Still coming off that pelvic contusion, so he's not 100%. Seemed to be kind of walking around a little heavy legged with a little giddy up towards the end of the game, but maybe just as the game ends, he's just tired. But my point is that I don't know that you can count on Jimmy to be, going at Gobert, going at Naz Reid, bumping, grinding, playing both ways, and still finding ways to get up 25 shots and score 30 points and carry the whole load both ways. That's just not realistic and that's not sustainable. So you're going to need nights like this where Buddy has to stay hot. You're going to need Pajemski, who, man, he hit that first three and then he went. I mean, he's 1 for 7 on the game and really just ineffective. Rebounded well, had 8 rebounds, had at least one or two offensive fouls drawn, and he hustled, but pod's not great, and he's been in a bit of a slump. Speaking of slump, the other person you can hopefully count on to be a streaky offensive player, Moses Moody, just pretty unplayable the last couple games after a great showing in garbage time in game five and a good showing in game six against the Rockets. Just, I think he's been 0 for game seven and then 0 for tonight and minus 14 in his 9 minutes. And you just need, you're going to need him because he can play defense and has a long body and is athletic and can give you energy. And he's one of the guys that can take a turn on Anthony Edwards and even probably Julius Randle to some extent. Gotta find a way to hit some shots, gotta find a way to finish in the lane. If you're not giving us anything on offense, you're unplayable. And honestly, without that, I just don't know where the points are going to come from. Jonathan Kuminga, sure, you could scream like I have at my TV screen that put Kuminga in, and you could need some offense from him because we're desperate for scoring. And he was okay. I mean, he hit his three. He got to the free throw line once. He was 2 of 5 from the field and had 7 points. But it's the same thing. He's minus nine. Everyone else on the team is pretty much in the plus. He's a minus nine. Had a couple bad, one really bad foul. A couple bad fouls actually. Missed a layup. Had a couple turnovers. It's just, he's lost all his confidence. And I would love to believe that, hey, give him, he had 13 minutes, give him another 13, 15 minutes. And hopefully that rust starts to shake off. And you get to see that Kuminga that we had seen glimpses from in various points of the last 3 years. But you just can't count on it at this point when, your confidence is the most important thing as an athlete in any sport, right? You don't have your confidence, your feel for the game, and you can't be effective in a huge game like this. Sure, you can be an athlete, get out in transition, make some cuts and find some hoops off of a nice Draymond Green assist at one point, cutting to the hoop for a dunk, that will help. Knocking down your free throws will help. Knocking down a three-pointer will help. But it doesn't cure the fact that just he is lost, and that's just, he's just not in the right place, and that's not something you're just gonna luck into or, all of a sudden figure out as the playoffs go. It's just been the reason why he hasn't played that many minutes under Steve Kerr over the last couple years. And let's just hope he starts hitting some shots and can, give us 15 points off the bench and do a decent job just being a competitive defender and a competitive rebounder, which leads me to my next point, and that I thought the Warriors did a fantastic job of rebounding. They won the rebounding battle, I think, what was it, 51 to 41, and the offensive rebounding battle, I think, it was like 18 to 12. Is that right? Yeah. And that was the difference, finding possessions. And then you mix that with the fact that they made 18 threes to the Wolves, what, five threes, many of which were at the end. Clearly, obviously, the difference in this game. And you're just, maybe you can count on being slightly better shooting than Minnesota each game, but you're not going to get that kind of separation. And if you only win by 11, you're going to have to find some points elsewhere, or you're going to have to hold Minnesota under 80, under 90 again, which, okay, maybe it's possible. The defense ate up Minnesota all night, and credit to Draymond Green, who I actually thought, if it wasn't for Buddy Hield, Draymond Green probably player of the game. Not as much an impact in that second half, but man, he came out hot, hit those four threes. Defense just turned off the faucet on anything Minnesota had going to the rim, especially for the first three quarters. And I thought Buddy Hield, I thought Bajemski, I thought basically all the Warriors role players did a great job running the Wolves off the 3-point line, right? You saw them, they got put in rotation a couple times, but they recovered every time. Wolves really didn't have any open shots for, they weren't making anything, but a lot of it wasn't that open. And you got to credit the Warriors committing to running guys off the 3-point line and saying, hey, we're going to funnel you into Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler in help in the lane, and you can try to finish over them. And those are two guys that, for the most part, are going to contest without fouling. They're going to be in the right spots, and they're going to make life tough for you. And if you're not going to be able to, make that great pass off the dribble, like really only Ant Edwards can on this team, put the ball on the deck, get to the paint, make a good pass. He's really the only one, and that's not even what he does the best. And they don't have great shooters, so that you can see that the Warriors were determined to force the Wolves to kind of finish in the lane and play make from there and trust your help defense, and it was effective. So I think that's what we learned in game one. We also learned, as Jimmy Butler said, that Steph Curry is our best player, and it's going to be really tough without him, especially on offense. And that's really the takeaway in this. But Just got to get the props to Buddy Hield for once again winning us a huge game. Draymond Green, defensive effort and just all around play. I thought he played a very composed, just smart game. He handled the heck out of the ball. Yeah, he had four turnovers, but just he basically was point guard until the fourth quarter, where Jimmy Butler just kind of handled everything. But I just thought he did a very good job just kind of getting us into the offense and then obviously spacing the floor and basically playing Gobert off the floor by hitting those threes, pulling Gobert out from under the rim, and that really opened up a ton for the Warriors. And if Gobert's going to be if Draymond's not hitting shots and Gobert's able to sit under the hoop for the rest of the series, we're not going to score enough points. You have to pull them away, and unless we're going to keep shooting really well from three, you just have to find ways to get into the hoop, and it starts with getting Gobert pulled out onto the perimeter there. I thought the Warriors bench did fantastic in this, and you really had to piece it together. I don't know if Pat Spencer assumed he was going to be playing tonight, but got some great minutes out of him. Just immediate impact. Got a couple steals in that shift in was it the third quarter? Had a couple buckets, and really just kind of steadied the ship as things were starting to get away from us. And you're going to need more Pat Spencer. He just gives you what you're missing with Steph Curry that you hope to get with Pajemski, but it hasn't really been there. And quite frankly, you just need another ball hand there who can not only handle the ball, but just kind of get into, break down the defense, get into the lane. You don't even have to finish, although he finishes pretty well. I know he's not a great shooter, but just the ability to just kind of get that defense moving around, just kind of get that ball to different spots on the floor. That's just that little bit of creation that is the biggest thing missing. And it's what, Steph gives it the most of, obviously, just his creation through his gravity and then also just, his just everything that he does. But it's what we were missing before we got Jimmy Butler. How many times earlier in the season did we talk about how the Warriors just didn't have enough shot creation? And that was with Steph. So Pat Spencer really does give you that element more than anyone else on this team, more than Kuminga, more than any other guards, and maybe even more than Pajemski, because he's actually explosive. He can get to the hoop and really just get by guys and cause some ruckus on both ends of the court. So I thought, he was good, and you're going to see more Pat Spencer in these upcoming games, and hopefully he can kind of settle into that rhythm, maybe even hit a couple of jumpers and start to space the floor a little bit. And then Kevon Looney, man, just, when you need somebody, Looney's going to be there for you. And Draymond picks up his fifth foul, and things are getting dicey. I think we were up eight at that point, and Edwards was getting to the hoop, and Warriors were getting out rebounded and kind of getting pushed around. And you could just tell that they were hanging on for dear life. And good old Looney comes in, gets immediately stands strong, gets a stop at the rim, goes on the other side, gets a couple offensive rebounds, and then he gets another stop on the other side. And he's just kind of that steadying force just to make sure that Gobert and Minnesota didn't get extra possessions. And then you just kind of, get enough, contests up in the lane to make life difficult and really just kind of slow down Minnesota's run with a couple stops. And I thought that's where the game changed. You think Draymond's going out with, what was it, like maybe like 6, 7 minutes left in the game, and Minnesota's closing the gap. And now where are you going to get points? But Looney comes in, and like he tends to do, he is a steadying force. And especially as, our best big against, a true like post or a big defensive or a big offensive presence at center. Not that Gobert is a great offensive player, but the offensive rebounding really is a threat, especially to the Warriors. And so Looney being in there, I thought, unheralded, but he really saved the game for us heading into that clutch time. Okay, well, I guess that's about all I got here, guys. Let's enjoy the win. We're all on Steph watch and just hoping for the Warriors training staff, the best Warriors training staff, shout out Rick Celebrini, and hoping that, hey, get Steph right, get the soft tissue stuff done, get him back to close to playable, and maybe, only miss game two and I mean, I'm gonna assume game three. And if he's back by game four, I'm happy. And we're gonna win one of those two games. All right. Up 1-0, guys. Let's do it. Got home court advantage. Let it work for us. And I think we've proven that, hey, even without Steph, we can hang with this team and even outplay them by 1 point. All right. Until next time, don't forget, hit like, hit subscribe. Help me out, guys. I'm working hard here, working for these dubs. Let's get this count up. All right. I'll talk to you after next game. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.